going. I'm not going to allow it to break up. Commitment is focusing upon your partner's needs as well as on your own. You're no longer just one person, but you've become two. Commitment is being sensitive to your partner's past hurts, what's blew them out of the water, blew their minds, and helping them in that process if they want to heal. Especially if you're a female, you're the helpmeet. You're to help him come to that particular point. Men are not as strong as they used to be, trust me. I'm from the old school kind of a thing where a man is supposed to be strong. Men, especially in America, are feminized now. You see the way they're acting when you look at the economic situations in this country now. Men have just lost a sense of how to conduct themselves as men. Commitment is being sensitive to those hurts. All right. It's also working to overcome the barriers to communication. If your man doesn't speak that much, you can't holler at him, can't badger him. You can't say, why aren't you like other men? You got to work on that. It's hanging in there during the hard times if you're committed to that person. And it's planning for the future and establishing those particular goals as a couple together as you strive, not only just to buy the house, to get the car. It's not about stuff. It's about the stuff of life. Let's put it that way. So, all right, we've gone over lesson number one. Lesson number one is commitment is a decision. Lesson number two is without trust, there can be no victorious relationship, especially in Christ. An intimate relationship is a source of joy. Only when you have full faith in your partner's loyalty and long-term dependability. You can't get into the relationship saying, well, I know he's going to blow this or she's going to blow this, or I heard about her in the past. I'm thinking about, again, that person that I was talking to Sunday in church. And, you know, these are some of the things that he should have thought about before he got married. I mean, that's the way I'm thinking. How do you know whether your partner is trustworthy? How do you know whether they're going to be reliable and dependable? Okay. Now, I want you to answer the following questions with never, rarely, often, or always. Okay. You got your spouse there sitting next to you. You got your girlfriend or your boyfriend sitting there next to you, hopefully of the opposite sex. And we want them to answer the question with never, rarely, often, or always. Question number one, I know that I can depend upon you to support me under any circumstance. Now, can you answer that question to your mate with you never can, you rarely can, often you can, or always? Please don't lie about it. Now, you can pause this little thing and have a discussion or a fight, but let me move on to the next one. All right. Your behavior is erratic, and I never know what to expect from you. Is that a never, a rarely, or an often, or an always question? You can pause this one or have round two in your battle, Galactica. Here's a third question. I fear that we will grow apart. Do you never feel this way, rarely feel this way, often, or always feel this way? Here's another one. Although I am unsure of the future, I have faith that we will be together. Okay. Do you never feel that way, rarely feel that way, often feel that way, or always feel that way? Here's another one. Here's another one. I can rely on you to get any place on time. Answer that question. Can you rely upon your mate, your spouse, to get any place on time? Here's another one. You keep your promises, even when that is difficult, when that is a difficult thing to do. Answer it. Never, rarely, often, and always. You got to pause this thing. Pause it and talk about it. That's why I'm glad you got it coming over the computer like this. You can pause it. Answer that question. Here's another one. When you're under stress, you lash out at me. Mm-hmm. That must be round 8. Here's another one. I am certain that you are sexually faithful. Answer the truth. Here's number 9. I know that it is safe to come to you with my concerns when I feel vulnerable. Do you know it's safe to go to your partner? That it feels comfortable? Here's another one. You are threatened when people disagree with you. You have to answer this question. Never, rarely, often, or always. Here's another one. You respect my point of view even when you see things differently. How about this one? You have difficulty admitting your mistakes. Here's another one. When you give me your word, I am confident that it is true. Here's another one. You gossip about or criticize other people. Now, I am going to leave that at that. Let's come on down to lesson number 3. And I'm just going to make this quick. Compromise is not a dirty word. And I have a question mark about this one. Compromise is not a dirty word. I'm going to leave that one alone. I want you to discuss that with your mate. In other words, when you come to an impasse, do you think of compromising in order to stop the war? Lesson number 4, target your anger where it belongs. In other words, you got to figure out what's really bothering you there. And don't target the anger at the other person, especially if the other person has nothing to do with your anger, but maybe the lack of money or the situation itself has to do with the anger. So you have to target that anger where it really belongs. Right? Let's see here. Not important. Lesson, let's see, number 5, keep your balance. Keep your balance. This means that the challenge in any relationship is to be sure that each one of these roles gets its fair share of attention. Too many couples communicate only enough to get the bills paid or to keep the child care engagements, forgetting to take time out for romance. That's the balance in the relationship. Others are sexually passionate, but don't have common interests outside of the bedroom and seldom go out together. There's some couples like that. I believe that those couples just got married personally for sex. That's not a balanced relationship at all. Lesson number 6. Shed the attitude of helplessness. In other words, when people are convinced they cannot succeed, that's a helpless disposition. Even minor obstacles becomes overwhelming to the individual and the couple or the couple itself. They haven't really considered these things by replacing the negative tapes we play in our heads with positive messages. That's how you get on with yourself. Listen, let me give you an example. I think this one is a pretty good one used by Derek and Darlene. He says that when you encounter a problem at work, don't assume that I'm not going to be able to do this. I don't have the skills. Instead, remind yourself, I am a diligent worker dedicated to this project, and I'm going to find a way to get it done. Whenever you face a new challenge, stop saying, I can't, and begin saying, I'll do my best. Or, if I don't know something, then I'm going to do what's necessarily pertinent for me to learn that something that I don't know. See, when you affirm yourself like this, that's the best vehicle for achieving intimacy within the relationship, and because you're dealing with the problems that you're encountering. I'm really committed, and I know that we'll be able to work at this. This is the kind of language that you use as a husband and wife team. It is also important that you allow each other the space to make their own decisions and their own mistakes, and stop becoming that domineering part of the relationship that won't even allow the person to think outside of the box a little bit. Lesson number 7. Our sisters are not to be used with the B word. I think that that's obvious, right? But I'm using this in a Christian discourse because I'm sorry. Some of you brothers come right out the hood and out of a hip-hop mentality, and you kind of be slipping back into darkness. I hope you're not. Well, all right, here's another one. Lesson number 8. Our brothers are not dogs, ladies. Okay, need I say any more? Lesson number 9, soulmates cannot make us whole or be our mirror image. I like that one. See, don't think that the person that God has given you to be with you is there to make you whole. Yeah, the two become one, but you have to become whole within yourself and see the benefits of that taking place. Lesson number 10, believe in the possibility of changing some things in your lives. That's very, very important. Because if you don't believe in the possibility that certain things can change, not the way that Barack Obama uses it, I don't know when you're going to listen to this, but during the time when this treatise was made, Barack Obama was running for the presidency of the United States, and he used this little term, change. My goodness, I don't know what's the matter with that man. I ain't talking about that kind of change, because I'm sure that in his life he will experience some change. Yeah. Lesson number 11, recognize the warning signals. In other words, the love between two people can erode for many reasons, even within the Christian sphere. Sometimes infidelity, sexual incompatibility, the absence of trust can sever the relationship. The cumulative damage, weakened by less acute but long unresolved issues, can only destroy love. I read that sentence years ago, and I was thinking about it. Could anything destroy the love that I had with Lucy? Nah. Why? Because I was such a person that I would not allow that to take place. What do you mean? John, are you saying that you are not going to allow Lucy not to love you? That's right. How could she not love me? The beautiful babies I gave her. How could she not love me? This beautiful little house that I helped work with her for the rest of her life. How could she not love me? Well, let's talk about this a little bit. If you recognize any of the following danger signals, your relationship may be headed toward some troubled waters. Let's see if you recognize them. You feel emotionally distant from your partner, are lonely, even when you're together. That's good. Got to work on that. How about this one? One of you has begun to spend far more time than usual away from home. Think about it. You can go home, but you don't want to go home. Here's another one. Your partner's behavior changes suddenly. Watch it. Headed for disaster. Here's another one. The level of your sexual activity declines markedly. Or markedly, I should say. In other words, you just stop. Here's another one. You no longer talk about your daily activities. Warning light. Here's another one. Your relationship is in balance and some important way, with emphasis placed mostly upon your business relationships, your sex life, or your parenting roles, to the exclusion of other areas. I like that. When the emphasis is upon business, sex, or parenting roles, instead of everything, they're looking for a way out. Here's another one. You or your partner spend more time with a friend or with the opposite sex than with each other. Watch it. I had to check that out when I was married to Lucy and pastoring that church. Even though I enjoyed other people visiting their homes and all of that and counseling them, why did I want to spend more time with them instead of with Lucy? Watch it. I had to ask myself that question. Here's another one. Minor incidents began to escalate into big battles. Did you move my pen? Yes, I had to make out the grocery list. I told you not to use my pen. See what I'm talking about? There's a problem. You feel humiliated after an argument with your partner. Think it through now. See, you got to deal with these warning signals. And then as you deal with these particular warning signals, as you deal with one another, you state your concerns. Now, don't make a lot of false accusations or launch a full-fledged attack on the person. The objective is to be honest about the feelings that you foster and to candidly have these discussions and so that you can come to some kind of resolve about it. That's what you need to do. The authors of the text says that sometimes these signals reflect irreconcilable differences. Now, you know as a Christian that irreconcilable differences is not a grounds for divorce.